Matthew chapter 9, but I'd like to invite everyone to stand. I'm not sure what your normal routine is, but I'd like to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're just going to read a couple verses this evening, but Matthew chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse number 35. The Word of God says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." With the Lord's help tonight, I'd like to bring a message with the time that we have left tonight, with this thought entitled, based out of verse number 38, The Lord of the Harvest. You know, tonight, I'd like to, this is a probably very familiar passage to most of us, this passage on praying for the need of the laborers. But, you know, it's interesting. When we really think about this issue that we're going to talk about tonight, it is probably the greatest problem in missions. It is the greatest problem. You know, how many, but I think it's probably around this area, too. We were driving through some parts of Dallas, and my wife and I were traveling from Tennessee just a few days ago, and we saw a lot of signs. Maybe you've seen some of them. They're popping out just everywhere, and there's signs that say, "Now hiring." You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, yeah. Right, "Now hiring" or "Help wanted." I like that one. They're a little bit more blunt with it, right? It's like, "We need help," you know? And it's amazing. It's kind of a strange phenomenon that's going on in our country. It's not just in this area. It's all over the country. In fact, I read an article that was a few months ago. It was in August of last year. They said that in that month alone, that I think it was between 4 to 10 million people left their jobs. Think of that. Millions of people. Now, for whatever reason that is, maybe because of the pandemic or trying to find a better job somewhere else, I don't really know. But there are places and jobs and of employment that are looking for people to help them out. And if you've been in some of those places, maybe you can feel a little bit of the effects of that, right? Maybe it took a little bit longer to get your Chick-fil-A sandwich than you would have liked to because they didn't have enough people. Or maybe it's something along the lines of that. You were in the grocery store or maybe at Walmart or someplace and it took a long time to get helped because the lack of laborers. And, you know, that's a strange phenomenon that's going on in our country. But one thing that is for sure that you'll notice whenever you look at the people who are working and who are laboring, you'll notice something about them. You know what I'm talking about? What is it? Typically, they're stressed or they're overloaded because the workload is increased. The workload hasn't gone down, but the labors have gone down. And so now the workload on those few labors has gone up tremendously. Yeah, you understand? You're seeing where we're tracking tonight? There is an even greater dearth, however, this evening for God's harvest field. You know, I wonder tonight if the Lord would allow us to see into heaven, if we would see, you know, signs of "Help Wanted" and "Now Hiring" posted in heaven. I wonder if God had a map of the globe up in heaven, and there were signs not just in countries but in villages and towns and small groups of people, neighborhoods, saying "Help Wanted," "Now Hiring." Friends, I want to encourage you. There is a great need, more than ever before, for people to become laborers for God. And let me just explain what I mean by that before we go any further. When the Bible uses the word labor, do not automatically equate that with missionary, okay? You know what laborer means? It means a worker. A worker. A worker. You know, let me ask you a question. Are you a laborer for God? Are you a worker for the Lord? You know, I understand God doesn't want everybody to cross the ocean and to leave their home and go that thing. I completely understand. But God does want us all to be laborers for Him. He wants to be workers for Him. So what about you tonight? You know, it's easy, though. We can get our eyes on the need of laborers. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it gets discouraging. You know, see the lack of laborers that there are, really. You know, I could probably count on one hand how many people are going to our country. Think of that. How many people that we would, you know, preaching the gospel. Lord, help us. We know it's amazing, though, is that whenever we've got to get our eyes back off of those things, get our eyes back on the Lord, on Him. Look at verse number 38 again, if you would. The Bible uses a name for God. You know, I love the different names for the Lord, don't you? Amen. Somebody does, I think. I was a teacher and a youth pastor, okay, so I work on feedback. So whenever I don't hear any feedback, all right, so I struggle a little bit, okay, so pardon me. So you had to bear with me, okay? But I love the names of the Lord. And one that the Lord gives us here in verse number 38, the Bible says, pray therefore, notice this, the Lord of the harvest. God is still Lord of the harvest. He is the master over his harvest field. Now we understand when Jesus was speaking here, he wasn't talking about getting in the corn crop, okay? That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about souls. He was talking about people that were dying and going to hell without Christ. Oh, in another passage of scripture, the Lord gave a parable and he said that the field is the world. We understand that there are people who are on their way to hell right now at this moment, that their eternity is hanging in the balance, and God is looking for laborers. He's looking for people to help. So what about you tonight? Oh, we must get our eyes back on the Lord of the harvest. My life verse is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and I love this verse so much because of just the amount of things the Lord has taught me through it. I just want to share it with you. Listen to these verses, if you would. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to the Word of God. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then notice this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what it all comes back to, friends. All comes back to that, keeping your eyes on Christ and who He is. See, every single one of us has a race to set before us. You know, I can't run Brother Combs' race. You know, Brother Combs can't run my race. I can't run some of your races. You can't run my race. But you need to not look at other people, but look to the Lord and the race that He has set before you. Wow. You know, what's amazing about this word, looking, literally has the idea is to turn your eyes off of everything else and to focus them on one thing. You know how many people are trying to keep one eye on Jesus and one eye on the world? One eye on Jesus, one eye on themselves. Oh, friend, it'll not work. We've got to get our eyes back on Him and who He is, what He's done for us. Oh, has Jesus done anything for us? Oh, did He die on the cross for you? Oh, for God so loved the world. Oh, we don't know what that means, do we? Lord, help us. He so loved us. He sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Praise the Lord. We need to get our back eyes on the Lord of the harvest. On the Lord, on Him. Well, we're going to look at three things quickly tonight with the time we have left. The first is that of the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. You know, what motivates people to serve the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? Is it the fact that there's a need for workers? I mean, that's a good reason, but is it the best reason? I want you to hold your finger here. Turn over now to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. This is probably, to me, one of the most sacred passages of Scripture. I love this chapter so much. In Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah catches a glimpse of who God is. I'd like for you to use your sanctified imagination. Ask the Lord to help you see Him tonight. Isaiah 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Let me pause just for a moment, friends. The Lord is still sitting on the throne. He hasn't been voted out of office, okay? He is still ruling. Oh, He was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. He was covering up Himself. Verse number 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh, friend, when Isaiah saw the Lord for who He was, he saw himself for who He was. This was a preacher. This was a man of God that was serving the Lord. And yet when he saw and got a fresh vision of who God was, he saw himself in his filthiness and his wickedness. Oh, may Lord help us to open our eyes that we might see Him, His holiness. He gets clean and the Lord cleanses him. But look at verse number 8. What happens when he's clean, when that sin gets out of the way? He hears God's voice. Verse number 8. Have you heard God's voice lately? Maybe there's sin in the way. Verse number 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? You know, the Lord wasn't declaring His own greatness or His own holiness. No. You know what God was saying in this passage? He was looking desperately for someone that would be His representative. His eyes were running about throughout the whole earth, looking for someone that He can bless, looking for someone that He can use. And Isaiah, seeing this, volunteers himself. So then said I, here am I, send me. Oh friend, are your eyes on the Lord tonight? It's so easy to get our eyes on this world and on our circumstances, on ourselves. May I encourage you, get your eyes back on who Christ is and who Jesus is. You must see the Lord of the harvest. But if you'll turn back with me now to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Notice also, we see the Lord is at work here in verse number 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know what I'm thankful? Is that the Lord Jesus is still at work today. Yeah, amen, He is. Now He's working through the person of His Holy Spirit. He's working through His church, through His people, but He's still at work. Oh, you don't have to turn there, but over in Mark, I do want to read these verses to you. Mark, the end of Mark here, he says in Mark 16, verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Okay, so now it's going to talk about, so the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven. He's sitting there on the right hand of the throne of God. And He gave the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to His church, to His disciples. And notice what happens in verse number 20. It says, and they went forth, talking about the disciples here, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Huh. Wow. The Lord was working with them. It was His work. You know what I'm convinced is that God is not interested about us trying to get Him in on our work, but rather us getting in on His work. Us getting in and a part of what the Lord is doing, what God is doing. And in fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it illuminates that a little bit further. There was a quarrel that was going on in the church at Corinth about, well, some were of Paul and some were of Apollos. And in verse number 6, he's like, all right, you guys are carnal. But then in verse 6, he's like, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Huh, wow. We're working together with the Lord. And in this passage of scripture in Matthew 9, Jesus was at work. He was working diligently. He was teaching. He was preaching the gospel. He was healing. He was doing the miraculous. And I want to encourage you this evening that the Lord Jesus is still doing that same work in our day and age. Amen. He's seeking the lost to Himself. So I want to ask you a question. Are you involved in His work? Are you involved in His work? If the Lord gave you a command to go talk to somebody about the gospel this week, would you? You need to get in what the Lord's doing. In verse 36, He says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here we find the Lord's heart. The Lord's heart is for people. Huh. For people. Sometimes I think we forget, you know, the gospel work and the work of God is not just kind of some ambiguous thing. It's an individual work. God is working the lives of people. Every single person in this room tonight has some kind of story. Some kind of story. About how God got a hold of their life. He said, I hope you have that story. If you don't, you can come to know Jesus tonight. You can come to be saved. And He'll save you. Oh, but we need to have a heart for people like the Lord does. That's not natural in us, is it? How do we do that? We get close to the shepherd. We get close to Him and His heart. Notice verse number 37. It says, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but laborers are few. We find in this, not only the Lord of the harvest, but the problem of the harvest. So the problem was not really with the harvest at all. See, he said here that the harvest truly is plenteous. It was fruitful. It was abounding. You know, if we're not careful, we can buy into this lie that some Christians are buying into, that people aren't getting saved anymore, that the gospel doesn't work, and that just, you know, but that's not true. As somebody once said, that either the gospel's lost its power or we're just not giving it. I think we know the answer to that, don't we? You see, the problem wasn't with the harvest. In fact, in another portion of Scripture, John 4, the Lord Jesus turns to his disciples after talking with the woman at the well, and he says, look, see not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Look ye up on, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already the harvest. He was saying, look around you. There are people all around us that need Christ. In fact, my wife and I, as we were coming in and checked in our hotel, there was a lady from Nepal. She didn't know what the gospel was. She never heard the gospel. Right here, just 5 minutes from the church. Think of that. There are people all around us that need Christ. Oh, that need the Lord. But notice verse number 37. The problem is not with the harvest, it's with the laborers. But the laborers are few. Are you a laborer, my friend? Are you getting in on what God is doing? You know, I'm thankful for technology, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to use different things. But in Romans chapter 10, the Bible still says the method that God delights in using it more than anything else. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a cell phone? Is that what the Bible says? No, of course not. How shall they hear without a preacher? And it's not talking about a pastor. He's talking about people who will proclaim God's message. Friend, God has a plan for each and every one of your heart, every one of your lives tonight. But the question is, have we said yes to the Lord? Are we getting into the yoke with Jesus? Are we laboring together with Him? I hope you are tonight. The final thought, the solution the Lord gives us, verse 38, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. My wife and I are praying earnestly that God will send forth a host of people in North Africa. We're believing God for that. But I wonder, we need to be praying the Lord would send forth laborers here. You know what's amazing is that when the disciples prayed, we won't take time to read it, but in Matthew 10, verse 1 through 5 there, you find that these same ones that Jesus said to pray end up becoming the laborers. And you know what happens in our life? You know, whenever we start to pray, God does a work in us, doesn't He? When we pray for laborers, we find that we become laborers. And maybe some of us, again, we just need to get in the prayer closet with God. Allow God to have His way in our life. So, Lord, I want to serve You. You know, there's only two ways to live your life, friends. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, it says that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, and to Him which died for them and rose again. You can either live for Christ, or you can live for yourself. Which one are you tonight? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking around. God has a corner of His harvest field for every one of us. Where does He want you to go? I believe some people, you know, God wants to serve overseas. And I believe every single one of us should ask the Lord that. But maybe you, the Lord's dealing with your heart about serving God here. You know, just because we're here doesn't mean that we're necessarily a laborer. Maybe you've gotten your eyes on the problems, the things around you, you've got your eyes off the Lord. Whatever the Lord's dealt with you tonight, would you respond to Him? Would you say yes to Him? His way is perfect.